Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Lamed Hey. We begin right on top of the Amud. It says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a Brisa. How do we know that we're meant to take an Esrig? There's no word Esrig in the Torah. The Pasuk merely says, Pri Eitz Hadar, and we learn from there, that's going to be a fruit from a tree which has some unique characteristic. Eitz, Shetam Eitzoy Upiryoy Shav. It's a type of tree whose fruit and wood and branch itself have similar tastes. So the wood of the tree itself tastes somewhat like the fruit which grows on it. And what is that? Have Omer Ze Esrik. Apparently that's the Esrik, which has that feature. Now we all know Rashi and Chumash says that initially, when Hashem created the world, it was meant to be a fruit tree whose fruit and eitz have similar tastes, but the trees deviated and the wood no longer tastes like the fruit, except for some exceptions, such as the Esrig, which maintained its loyalty to Hashem, and indeed, it still has this feature where the eitz and the pri are similar, and indeed that's being used for the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Ve'ema Pilplin. We have another candidate. Pilplin, these seeds, these spice seeds, which have the same feature. The eitz and the seed have similar tastes. Kedisani, as we find in a brisa. Hoye Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir used to say, Avakasha. If you take a look at the Pasuk, which says, Unatatim Kaleitz, the Pasuk speaking about Erla, you're going to plant a tree, and the first 3 years you cannot eat the fruit from that tree. Well, once we say you cannot eat the fruit of that tree, wouldn't you figure out that it's an Eitz Machal, it's a fruit tree? Vata Malema Eitz Machal. Why then does the Pasuk have to spell it out? When you're going to plant kol eitz ma'achal, it's obvious that it's a fruit tree. The Pasuk is trying to add something, going to include another type of so-called fruit, which perhaps we would think isn't really a fruit. What is this? Eitz ma'achal is a ribui to include eitz, a type of tree, shetam eitz or yipur yoshav, where the eitz tastes similar to the pri. Havi Omer, ze pilplin. So what is that? It's referring to pilplin, this seed used for seasoning, which has this feature. And what does the pasuk come to add? Two things. La metcha to teach you. Number one, sha pilplin chayavin ba'arla. Don't think that pilplin, which grow on these short, low trees, brushes, are not really considered growing on a tree. They're considered like a yerek, in which case there's no din of arla. No. Even this pilpulin tree is considered a tree and is chayv barl. That's number one. And number two, ve'ein Eretz Yisrael chaser klum. There's nothing missing in Eretz Yisrael. Even pilpulin are to be found there. Today they found the natural gas. Eventually they'll find everything in Eretz Yisrael. Shenem aloi techsar kolba. There's nothing missing there. It has everything. Pretty clear that pilpulin have this feature as well. Why isn't that going to be taken instead of the Esrig? Says the Gemara, well, that's impossible. It's not going to work out. Pilplin are not suitable candidates for the mitzvah on Sukkot. Hey, Chnei Avid, what should we do? Should we take hold of just one seed? That lekicha doesn't have prominence. It's not chashav. It's not visible, a little seed. And the Chassam Sefer explains. The Pasuk says, ulakachtem. You meant to take a lekicha tam, a full-fledged, noticeable taking. A little seed doesn't conform. That's out. Ninkait treyat lasa. What about taking two or three seeds? Now it's noticeable. Well, that also doesn't work. Pri echad amar achmana v'leish naim u'shleisha peiris. What does the pasuk say? Pri eitz ahadar alashin yachid. Just one, not two or three. Hilkach le'yefshar. So apparently, that's off the table. And only candidate that we have left to consider is the Esrig, which has the concept of Eitz Shetam Eitz Oipir Yishav. So that's the first Pshat in the Braisa. Pri Eitz Hadar is an Esrig, because the Pri and the Eitz are similar in nature. Rabbi Eimer, I'll give you another source. Altrukri Hadur, instead of reading Priate Hadur, Darshan like this. Elo Hadir, like a pen. You keep the animals. So the Priate Hadur is related to a pen. What does that mean? Madir Zeh, just as this pen, which contains the animals, has animals of all sizes, shapes, varieties. Yeshba, Gdoil, Muktanim, large ones, small ones, Tmimim, Ubali, Mumin, whole or blemished. Hachinami, here as well. What type of fruit tree are you meant to use for the mitzvah? Hachinami, Yeshba, Gdoil, Muktanim, that's the esrog tree, which has large esrogim, small esrogim. You see, the esrog lingers on, stays on the tree for a couple of years, so you have huge esrogim and small newcomers. So it's gedolim, uktanim, tmimim, balimumim. So apparently it's the esrog. And the Gemara will ask on this, what do you mean? Different sizes, different types? Atushar, peris, lesbuhu, gedolim, uktanim? What about other fruit trees? Apples. You don't have large ones and small ones on the same tree. Tmimim, balimumim? So why dafka an esrog? Says the Gemara, no, this is not what I meant. Elohi ka'amar, he meant like this. An esrog is unique in a sense that you still have last year's crop present on the tree when the new arrivals show up. The new ones come. The old ones, the big ones, are still here. That's unique to esrog. You don't have that by other trees. So although within the same crop you can have slightly larger and slightly smaller, blemished, unblemished, but not to this extent. You're going to have this huge fruit left over from last year alongside a small newcomer. So instead of Priyat Hadar, the drush is Hadir, like an animal pen, which contains all different varieties and sizes. And that's the esrog, where the fruit just lingers on the tree until it grows and grows. And it ends up being alongside a small newcomer. So you have the Gdolim and the Ktanim. Rabbi Avo Omar, he says it a little differently. It's going to be the same point, the same conclusion, but he arrives at that conclusion a bit differently than Rebbe. Al tikri hador ela hador. Instead of hador, it's going to be hador. Dover shador ilonoi mishana lashana. Hador lingers, lives on. So the esrog just stays on the tree until it's picked. It stays on from year to year. And that's how we know the pasuk of Priyat Hadar is referring to an esrog. So Rashi says it's really the same concept as Rebbe, but just another way of expressing this point. Ben Azi Omer, he has a different drush. Al tikri hadar ela idur. Instead of reading Priyat Hadar, the drush is idur shekem beloshin yevani in Greek. Kairin lamayim idur. Water is called idur. What type of fruit tree needs to be watered? So in addition to rainwater, natural water supply, it needs to have alkolmaim, has to have manual watering as well. What type of tree is that? Priyat Hadar either, which needs lots of water. Habayim is esrog. Apparently that's the esrog, which is a very sensitive tree, needs to be tended to properly and constantly watered. It's interesting that the Torah would mention a Lashon Yevani. So the Mefarshim say that the truth is that there was one original language, Lashon Kodesh, and all the Shivim Lashonis evolved from Lashon Kodesh. So at times we find that the Torah did make reference to other languages as well within the Torah. Here you have Idur is Lashon Yevani. The Gemara elsewhere says Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chachma, Hein is Achas B'Lashon Yevani. You have Yigar Sahadusa in Bereishis, it's Aramaic. And the point is to show that old language is really sourced in the Torah. You see that it's the same letters. The same 22 letters are found in pretty much all the alphabets. And there's no deviation as far as sounds, as far as the oisiyos. It's just different variations and combinations of those 22 letters, 22 alephates of Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, so in short, we proved that the Priyat Hadar is a reference to an esrog. We had four options. Either because Priyat Hadar indicates that it has to be something which is Tam Eitz or Yipur Yishave, which is the esrog, which followed Hashem's orders and had the eight matching the pre. Hadir can be referring to a pen, whether Agdoilim Uktanim, Hadar, Hadar Beilana Bishan Lashana, or Idur, the Esrog tree, which is Gadol, Alkalmai. Let's go back to the list of Psulim mentioned in the Mishnah. It says, Gmo Shal Asherah, Vishal Irhan Adachas Pasul. An Esrog taken from an Asherah tree, or from Irhan Adachas, it's Pasul in both cases. The Esrog is slated for a Sreifa, for destruction, and therefore it's possible, my time, says the Gemara, why? Because it's intended for strafe of destruction. It says, oh, it's missing a shear. An esrog needs to have a certain shear, a certain size. Now, what's the significance of size, of quantity? It adds capacity, it adds functionality. When it's slated for destruction, then it's not meant to be used in this capacity. Size, quantity, plays no role, it's meaningless. So it's missing the sheer aspect, and therefore it can't be used. Vishal Orla Pasul, if you take an esrog of Orla, it's Pasul. Why? My time. Whatever machlokes. Pligiba, Rabchir Barabin, Veravasi. So there was machlokes between these two Amirim. We're unsure at this point as to who said what. And the machlokes went like this. Chad Amar, one maintained, the reason for Orla's Psul is because Levisha Einbo Heter Achila. It's not edible to him. It's asr ba'achila. What does the Torah say? Lukachtem lochem. It needs to be ro'i to you. It needs to be edible. And that's the way you use a fruit. You eat it. If you can't eat it, it's not lochem. It's not truly yours. That's one pshat. V'chad Omar, the other one explained, l'fi she'ein bo din mamon. You don't have ownership in this esrig, which is asr ba'hana. You don't have monetary balos here. That's not called lachem. Now, the Gemara is trying to analyze the machlekes. The Gemara figures that these are two separate distinct approaches. Because Salka died, the Gemara figured, man de boy heter achila, the one that required edibility, that it should be roi for achila, loy boy din mamon, doesn't require ownership. The ikar use of the fruit is la'achilas, the ikar shimosh. And that's what's needed to be considered lochem. Ownership, monetary possession, that's not important. That's not a precondition for lochem. Uman de boy din mamon, loy boy heter achila. And likewise, the amoira, who tells us that lochem is dependent upon din mamon, ownership, monetary possession, he considered that to be primary. And even if you don't really have a heter achila, it's not really edible to you, that's enough, that's okay, as long as you have din mamon. Let's go over to Rashi, 20 lines from the top. It says, Rashi levi she'en bo heter achila. What's wrong with that? V'rachman omar lachem. Hasharoi lachem b'chal darche ane asay. You're meant to be able to use it the way it's meant to be used. A fruit is meant to be eaten. If you can't eat it, it's not lachem. That's one shita. The other one explains, levi she'en bo din mamon. Although it's a nice fruit, but it's asr bahana, it's considered valueless. And therefore, it's not considered yours. Continues Rashi. Kasalka died, the Gemara figured at this point, these are two separate avenues, two separate perspectives, as far as defining the word lachem. Man deboy heter achila, the shita, who considered achila as the primary concern, I have a bei heter achila. If you have heter achila, then you're taken care of. For instance, could go in masa sheni b'Yerushalayim, a masa sheni in Yerushalayim, which can be eaten, that's considered lachem. Lo yibay din mamon. We're not concerned of whether or not you have monetary ownership. Da'afal bish ein mamon l'Rab Meir. So even if it's not really your mamon, according to Rab Meir, da'amar b'kedushin masa sheni mamon gavayahu. He holds that masa sheni is given to you by Hashem for eating purposes, but it's really still Hashem's money. It's mamon gavoya. It's not really your personal money. You can't use it to be mekalish isha. It's not really your money. Still, it's okay because you have access to it. You can eat it. That's enough for lachem. That's one opinion. And conversely, the other shita, who says that it's dependent upon din mamon, heter achila is irrelevant. For example, you have esrik shel tevel, which is really yours, but you can't eat it. The achila determines. That's the one and only criterion. And since it's edible to you, it's mutar b'achila, that's enough. And since it's the esrik shel tevel, which is mutar b'hana, right? So that's why it's yours. Mutar b'hana, you can use it, you can sell. That's enough, even though you can't eat it, even though it's asr b'achila. So bottom line is, at this point in the Gemara, we have two approaches. Lachem either is referring to heter achila or din mamon. And the svar would be the shita that says din mamon, ownership is what determines monetary balus. That's the lochem. Eating, okay, I'll give up on the eating. The other shita held, you have to be able to use it the way it's meant to be. What's the primary use of a food item? Not meant to be sold to the next person. It's meant to be eaten. That's the ikar shimush of that achila, of that pri. And therefore, lochem is determined by whether or not you have that achila in the fruit. In fact, we see the svar in Tosfos, because Tosfos asks, he says, if you need heter achila for it to be considered lochem, that takes care of the esrik. Okay, what about the lulav? You can't eat a lulav. So why is it considered lochem? Lokachim lochem refers to the lulav as well. You can't eat it. There's no heter achila. So Tosfos says, of course, it's all relative. By lulav, nobody needs heter achila. He says the leishayach beachila. It's all relative to the designation, to what it's meant to serve, what's meant to, how you meant to use this item. So when it comes to lulav, of course, lachem, all agree lachem means ownership. But when it comes to a fruit, we have a shayla. Is ownership sufficient? Or do we say, no, the primary purpose of a fruit is to be eaten, and therefore we disregard ownership. That's not a factor. It's the achila which determines the lachem. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. So now, let's take a look at our Mishnah. Mishnah says, shal truma tmeya, apostle. You take an esrik, which happens to be truma, which happens to be tamei, which can't be eaten, but it's yours. It's your object. It belongs to you. Mishnah says it's pasul. Now, bishloim elamanda omar levisheim bo heter achila shaper. This Mishnah works out very well according to the Shita, which tells us that only lack of achila is a concern. Well, in this case as well, you don't have achila. It's asur b'achila, and that's why it's pasul. It's not lachem. Elo elamanda omar levisheim bo din mamon. But according to the opinion that ownership is what determines, what's the problem? Amai. Why can't you use truma tmeya? Hare masika tachasav shilei. The kohen can take this truma tmeya and use it as fuel underneath his pot. So he has heter ana. He has ownership. He has use other than eating. So why is it possible? It says what you write. Ela b'heter achila kuli amu le'pligi d'beinan. All agree. In order for it to be considered lachem, it has to be edible to you. Because let's remember, that's the primary function and use of a pri. If you don't have that, you have nothing. That's the base. Number one, achila is required. Ki pligi b'din mamon. The question is whether you have to have ownership on top of it being edible to you. Mar savar heter achila b'inan. One shita maintains that all you need is heter achila. Din mamon le'b'inan. You don't have to have ownership. As long as you have access to that fruit. If it's Masa Shena in Yerushalayim, even according to Rav Meir, where it's not really your mom, but if you have access to that food, it's enabled for your achila, that's fine. Did mom and loy be'inan? You don't have to have actual ownership. Umar Sabar, the other shita held, did mom and nami be'inan? On top of heter achila, you have to have ownership. And that explains why Truma Tmeya is possible according to all shitas. There's no heter achila. It's certainly an alochem. A food that can't be eaten, it's not really something you have ownership over, you don't have it. You can't use it. Maybe now, is there any difference, any nafkemina between the two shittas. They both require heter achila. And one says, well, on top of heter achila, you have to have ownership. Can you find a case where you'll have heter achila without ownership? And that would be dependent on the two shittas? Says, well, yeah, very simple. Iki b'nayu, difference is, Masah Sheni v'shibir Yerushalayim, as Rashi mentioned. Alibi the Rav Meir. You have Masah Sheni in your Yerushalayim. You could eat it. The Torah gives you rishus to eat your Masah Sheni if you're in the right place. But according to Rabbi Meir, it's mamon kavod. It's still Hashem's money. So lemanda omar l'visha ein b'heter achila. According to the shita, that the concern is only when you can't eat it. Hadar yesh b'heter achila. In this case, you're okay because you can eat it, and you can use it for your esrik. Lemanda omar l'visha ein b'heter mamon. According to the shita, that money is the criterion as well. On top of heter achila, you need to have ownership. Maser sheni mamon kavod. Since Masah Sheni is Hashem's funds, you can't use it to be Mekadesh Isha. It's not your personal possession. It can't be used for Esrig. It's not Lechem. Let's go back to Rashi, perhaps. About 10-12 lines above our position in the Gemara. It says Rashi, Ela beheter achila dekul amule be'ina. Everybody agrees that you need to have heter achila. Afilu yesh badin mamen. Even if you have ownership, that's not enough. Why, says Rashi? Because heter achila is primary. Since it can't be used for, it's meant to be used. What's a fruit meant to be used for? For achila. If you don't have that, you have nothing. So that's basic. The question is, do you need din mamon on top of that? One shita says, no, din mamon lo be'inam. In materis b'achila, once you can eat it, you're okay. You're going Masah Sheni b'Yerushalayim. I'll leave it with Rav Meir. Kasha. Because you can eat it. So getting back to the Mishnah, Masnisin Diktoni Shal Masah Sheni B'Yerushalayim Kosher. In fact, the Mishnah is now very well explained. Mishnah says that Masah Sheni Yerushalayim is Kosher. Afilu K'Rav Meir. This works even according to Rav Meir. The Omar Masah Sheni Mamon Gavayu Mitukma. Even according to Rav Meir, it works. So what that it's Mamon Gavayu? It's edible to you? That's enough. That's one approach. The other Shita says, no, Din Mamon Nami Be'inan. On top of heter achila, you have to have personal monetary balus on that item for it to be considered truly lochem. It has to be your possession. Therefore, says Rashi, Masah Sheni, the Rav Meir posel. Even though you can eat the Masah Sheni Yerushalayim, according to Rav Meir, it's heavenly funds. It's not your personal possession. And therefore, it's posel. Oh, so what does the Mishnah mean? Umas Nisan the Tani Kosher, Mishnah which said the Masah Sheni Yerushalayim is kosher, that's Rabbanan here. Different Shita, the Amri Mamon Heditu. They maintain the Masah Sheni in Yerushalayim, as Tosis points out, in Yerushalayim, it's Mamon Hedit. It's your personal possession. In fact, Umakachin Ba'isa Isha, you can use it to Makadish and Isha, apparently it's really yours. And only for that reason does the Mishnah say it's kosher. So let's just recap. Pasuk says, Lekachtam Lochem. Yours, you have access to it. It has to be edible to you. That's pashut. The question is regarding ownership. One shita says, not required. The other shita says, yes. The nafkamina, Masah Sheni in Yerushalayim. It's edible. But it's not really yours, according to Rabbi Meir. If it needs to be yours as well, then according to Rabbi Meir, you're not yetze. It's not lochem. Continues the Gemara. So we have two shitas. Rabbi Chiya bar Abin and Rabbi Asi. The question is whether you need din mamon on top of heter achila. We weren't sure who said what. Says the Gemara, I'll prove it to you. This time you can conclude that Rabbi Asi, the Amar al-Vishayimba din mamon. In fact, it was Rabbi Asi who maintained that din mamon is required above and beyond heter achila. How do we know? The Amar Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi himself said, Esrik shal Masah Sheni l'divir Rabbi Meir. You have an Esrik and Masah Sheni in Yerushalayim, but according to Rabbi Meir, who said it's Mamon Gavoya, you have Heter Achila, but it's not really yours. Ein Adam Yotzei Bayidechei Vasa B'Yomtev. You can't use it on Yomtev. That's Rabbi Meir, because you're lacking Din Mamon. Of course, L'divir Chachamim, who maintain it's your money, Adam Yotzei Bayidechei Vasa B'Yomtev. You can't use it on Yomtev, because you have Din Mamon. So this was who? Rav Asi. Apparently, it's a riot that Rav Asi maintains on top of Din Achila, you have to have Din Mamon. This time, in fact, this is a good conclusion to our question. Continues the Gemara. Let's review this halacha. Gufa. Omar be'asi. Esrog shamasir sheni. Hadivir Rav Meir ein adam yoytzei boyidei chavasa b'yantiv. Right? Because it's not your mammon. L'divir chachamim adam yoytzei boyidei chavasa b'yantiv. Now Rav Asi provided another two applications for this halacha. So one was regarding esrog. Right? According to Rav Meir, even in Yerushalayim, where you can eat it, since it's not really your mamon, it's mamon gavoya. It's lacking in lochem. Chacham maintain it's mamon hedit, it's your personal possession, it's lochem. We have another two cases where lochem is required, and therefore masa sheni in Yerushalayim would be problematic. Matzah. Shel masa sheni, so the first night of Pesach, there's a mitzvah, a chiv to eat matzah. And the Gemara is assuming it has to be yours. So you have matzah of masa sheni. Matzah shel masa sheni. L'divir Rav Meir, ein adam yotzei, b'yidei chavasa b'pesach. It's not your money. You have access to it. But it's not truly yours. It's not your possession. You don't have ownership. And you can't be yotzei. However, l'divir chacham, no concern. Adam yotzei, b'yidei chavasa b'pesach, because it's your money. Third case is isa shel masa sheni. You have a battery, you have a dough made of masa sheni material. L'divir Rav Meir, p'tur min achala. According to Rav Meir, it's pata from chala. Because it needs to be yours. This is not really yours. L'divir chachamim, chayeves b'chal. According to chachamim, it is chayev in chala because it is your money. Says Rashi, four lines from the bottom. P'tur min achala, why? Who says it has to be yours? D'chsiv arisa yiseichem. It has to be your batter. V'ayda gavayahi. Masa sheni, even Yerushalayim. It's Hashem's money, according to Shitas Rav Meir. V'af agav dihit ike heter achila. Now, this is despite the fact you have full access. You can eat this dough, this bread, kiven the lespo, din shar mamon lav didayu, since you don't really have monetary ownership. You don't have balus mamon. This is Rav Asi speaking. That's not truly lochem. Says the Gemara four lines from the bottom. What's going on here? Maskev l'rav papa. Bishlema is, I understand why isa needs to be yours. Ksiv reishis arisa yiseichem. Right, you have to separate the chal, the rashis, arisa yiseichem of your dough. Esrog nami, okay, there as well. Ksiv lachem, which tells us mishalachem. To understand why you have to own it. What about matzah? Ela matzah, miksiv matzah aschem. Where do you find in the Torah the word matzah aschem to indicate that it has to be yours? How do you get to apply this halacha to matzah? Omar Rabba bar Shmuel v'itema. Some say it was Rav Yemer bar Slamya. Asir lechem lechem. We learn it from Gzeres Shava. Ksiv hocha lechem oini. By matzah it says lechem oini. Uksiv hasem. And by the mitzvah of chala, it says v'hoya v'ach lechem lechem aretz. So we connect the two words lechem. And we say ma'alahala mishalachem. Just as by the chi of chala, we learned that it has to be yours, v'lo mishal maser, as opposed to maser, which is not yours, according to Rav Meir. Afkan, likewise by matzah. We learn mishalachem, v'lo mishal maser. So we have three applications. One is chala. Number two, matzah. Number three, esrog. It says, v'lo mishal, perhaps we'll have a right to Rav Asi's chiddush. Then all three cases, it needs to be really yours. We can prove it from the following price. Isa shel maser sheni p'tur min achala. A maser sheni dough in Yerushalayim is potter from chala, divrei Rav Meir, because he doesn't have din mamon. V'chacham ayim chayeves b'chala. So apparently, this halacha is true. Maser sheni in Yerushalayim, since according to Rav Meir, it's mamon gavaya, you don't really have din mamon, you're potter from chala. It's not a risa seichem. And perhaps we should extend this concept over to matzah, to esrog, just as Rav Asi maintained. Says the Gemara, Leima Masayeli? What do you mean, perhaps this is a raya? Hehe, this is the very same exact halach as Rav Asi. Of course it's a raya. He spoke about Achiv Chala, however, Braisa, which teaches us the same. What do you mean, maybe it's a raya? Ella, rather, what we meant is that the Braisa really only speaks about one component, chala. And we have to stretch it, we have to extend it over to the other ones. The point was that perhaps, since we find that the machlekes applies to chiv chala, b'ha nami pli, it would apply to esrog and matzah as well. Is that true? That since by esrog and matzah, it needs to be yours, then if it's maser sheni, it's not, and it can't be used. Oidilma, perhaps there's room for distinction. Shani isa, the dough, with respect to challah, is different than esrog and matzah. Why? Damakra, arisa yiseichem. Arisa yiseichem, terei zimni. We find the Torah mentions the word arisa yiseichem twice. Yeah, over here it has to be really yours. Not only mutar b'achila, not only edible to you, it needs to really be owned by you. You need to have din moment. But perhaps when it comes to the other examples, such as matzah, such as esrog, not necessarily. Does it have to be yours to that extent? And perhaps even heter achila would suffice. So it isn't really a clear proof to Rav Asi's chiddush, who maintained that the din of din mamon on top of heter achila is a requirement in all three cases, by challah, by matzah, by esrog. It's really inconclusive. We don't really have a raya from this price to prove it. However, Rav Asi maintained that it is so. The true lochem is, number one, heter achila, and number two, din mamon. And just as by challah, it has to be really yours. Likewise by matzah, it has to be really yours. We learn it from Gzeira Shava. And same thing by esrog, because he holds that the true lochem, the true yours, is only if it's really yours as far as edibility and as far as ownership. Continues the Gemara, Shal Truma Tmeya Psul. Mishnah tells us that if you use an esrog of Truma Tmeya, it's Psul. And as we mentioned earlier, the reason is very simple, because the less Beheter Achila, you can't eat it. You don't have access to the to use the esrog the way it's meant to be used. And therefore it's lacking in Lachem. And as we said earlier, everybody agrees that Heter Achila is a precondition for Lachem. However, Vishal Truma Tahoira Lo Yitol. If the esrog is truma, but it's truma tahira, which is really edible, don't use it l'chatchil. Why? We have a machlekes. Pligi ba rabami v'rabasi. Chadam, I want to explain, because he's going to enable it for tum. How's that? So Rashi brings the Mishnah later, that they used to keep their lulav bundle in water, to keep it fresh. And then when you take it out and put it together with the esrog, you're going to get the esrog wet. By getting it wet, it's machshir l'kabal tumah, it's going to enable it for tumah, and if it's truma, you're meant to take care, to be shamed of that truma from becoming tumah. So using it in this manner is inappropriate because it's lacking in the shmir. You're facilitating, you're enabling the tumah to arrive, and therefore you're not meant to use it. V'chad amar, the other one explained, because he's spoiling it, he's ruining it by handling it on sukkahs. The skin gets spoiled, and once again, that's a problem if it's truma. You're not meant to be mafsa truma. My binayu, is there any difference between these two approaches? Whether the concern is hechsher l'kabal tuma or because of hefsid? So the more, yeah. In the following case, kigoyin shikora aleo shem. Let's say he separated this esrog, he designates it as truma. Chutz mikli pasa. He left out the skin. He says, you know, everything in here is truma except for the outer skin. Chutz mikli pasa chitzayin. So now, lamanda omar pnei shemachshira, if the concern is hechshel kabotum, ikka, that's relevant here as well. Because when he gets it wet, the truma inside will get tummy as well. It's all one entity. Lamanda omar pnei shemachshira. However, according to the shita, that the concern was only hefsid leka, it doesn't apply in this case because doesn't really concern us. If the outer shell, the outer skin gets spoiled, that's not even truma. So in short, truma tahira should not be used. We have two reasons. Hechshel l'kabal tuma, which applies in all cases. Hefsid, which only applies if the outer skin is actually truma. That's the chatchila. V'im natal kshira. If he should use it, he's yaitzei. It's certainly kasha. Why? So although it's truma, but it has all the conditions. It meets all the requirements. Lamanda Omar Neshe Embo Heter Achila. You see, according to the Shita Namad Aleph, who told us that the concern by Erla is because it's not edible to you. In this case, you have no concern. Hariyesh Bo Heter Achila. It's perfectly edible. It's Truma Tahira. Lamanda Omar Neshe Embo Din Mamun. According to the other approach, the concern is only when it's not really yours. Right? So on top of Heter Achila, you have to have ownership. Well, Truma Tahira is fine. Hariyesh Ba Din Mamun. You have ownership. Says Rashi, right off to the left. Hariyesh Ba Heter Achila. Explains Rashi like this. So Truma has Heter Achila and Din Mamun. How's that? Who's shaking this estrog? Is it a Yisrael? Is it a Kohen? Says Rashi has Heter Achila Le Kohen. Kohen could eat it. What about a Yisrael? Listen to this chiddush, says Rashi. The Yisrael nami nafit ba. Even a Yisrael can use it. Im lakhim a kohen. Let's say he purchased the truma from a kohen. You can do that. So although you personally can't eat it, you can be yaitze. Why? Where's the heter achila? Says Rashi. Hoil v'yachal achila? L'ben bita kohen. You can feed it to your grandson who happens to be a kohen. So chiddush and Rashi. Feeding it to somebody is considered heter achila. It's edible to you. You can feed it. You have access to it as food. Interesting concept. So therefore, it's considered heter achil even for Yisrael. Aval, of course, says Rashi, of course, pidin ein lo. You can't say that. Literally, he can eat it. If he redeems it, lias niteres lachilis Yisrael. Vo'aymer kein rasho. Fascinating lashon in Rashi. Very unusual. Don't even think for a second that the Gemara meant that the Yisrael can actually eat the Esrog by redeeming it. There's no such a thing. It can't redeem Truma and make it Mutar Ba'achila. So whether it's the Yisrael or the Kohen, we consider it to be Mutar Ba'achila. Regarding Mammon, says Rashi, Harish, but Din Mammon. He has financial interest here. He has Din Mammon. How? Kohen Mekadosh Ba'as Eisha. So Kohen is simple. He can use it to Mekadosh Eisha. Apparently it's his. The Yisrael Nami, even the Yisrael, can theoretically own Truma. So all the truma belongs in the kohen's hands, but the kohen can sell it back to the Yisrael. It mustn't lack kohen mekadosh by seisha. Umoichel kahanim badam shaloi. Let's say the kohen gave it to the Yisrael, can use it to mekadosh isha, can sell it back to a kohen and keep the money. So he has monetary ownership. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. V'shel demai, if he used mai, which was Esrog purchased from Amoritz, where there's a suffix as to his truma masa status. And the Gemara tells us that it's really only a chumra, because roiv ami oritz would tend to the truma some maestris, so the rabbani not meant to eat it. And the Mishnah tells us, b'di'evit, d'mai is perhaps even l'chatchil. D'mai is, according to Beis Shammai, pasul, according to Beis Hillel, an esrog of Dmai is kosher. My time at the Basil, what's the reason of Basil that it's kosher? Fact is, you're not meant to eat Dmai. You're not meant to eat Dmai. Where's the heter achila? Kivan di boi mafkir ler nechsei. Because if he wishes, he can be mafkir as nechasim, give up on his properties, have the onion, turn himself into a pauper. What happens then? V'chazile. He's allowed to eat Dmai. Because Dmai is only a chumr. And the chachamim allowed an ani out of necessity to eat Dmai. So since every person theoretically can eat Tamai, if he turns himself into an Ani, that is sufficient for it to be considered edible to you. Right? Since theoretically you can actually eat this, Hashta Nami Lochem Kirinabe. So even now when he's still an usher, technically he can't access this fruit, it's considered Chazile, it's considered Lochem, and it's Mutter. This not as we find in the Mishnah, that an ani is allowed to eat dmai. Machil and saniyim dmai, we'll have to feed aniyim dmai. Vesach saniyim dmai, we'll have to feed the achsaniyim, these traveling soldiers, we'll consider aniyim. So we'll have to support, we'll have to feed these soldiers with dmai. And that explains the halacha now Mishnah. Says the Gemara Ubei Shammai. Ubei Shammai disagree, they hold that esrog shel dmai is pasul. Why? Because it's not lochem, you can't eat it. Because they hold that it's so important to refrain from eating demai, that even an ani lo yachal demai, even an ani can't access demai, the sun, it's none. As we find in the Mishnah, there's a machlokes between the Shammai and Basil. So the Mishnah says, machilin is aniim demai, vesach sani demai. So the Mishnah says, you can feed an ani demai, and the achsanoim, these soldiers as well, you can feed them demai. And Rav Huna explained, v'amar Rav Huna, tana we learned in the Braisa, this Mishnah reflects only shitas Basil, because there's really a machlokes. Beis Shammai emrim ein machilin. You can't feed these people Dmai. That explains the halacha now Mishnah. Dmai is inaccessible to anybody, and therefore it's not lochem. However, Beisilo hold or Beisilo Imrim Machilin Asaniim Dmai Vesachsanoim Dmai, and that explains why they hold an esrog of Dmai is kosher for mitzvah use, because since an ani can have Dmai, and any person can turn himself into an ani, so it's considered that he has access to this fruit, at least in theory. It's called lachem. It's considered something which is edible to him, and it's kosher for mitzvah use. Shomasa sheni shvi yishalayim. So Mishnah says, l'chatchil, you should not use an esrog, which is maser sheni, even if you're in Yerushalayim, where you can eat it. L'chatchil, don't use it. Why? The same concern as we had by Truma. L'man the Amar b'nei shemachshir, according to the Shita, that the concern was because he's enabling the Truma for Tuma by getting it wet. Harei machshir, here as well, when it comes to maser sheni, you're meant to maintain the tahara of the maser sheni. Rashi says, Maser sheni bo yishimur de kodesh ikri dechsevach ha-masa aretz. We find that the pasuk refers to maser sheni as something kodesh. So to this extent, it has the same status as truma. Keep it tohar, don't get it wet. So keep away from using maser sheni. L'man da omer b'nei shemafsida, according to the other shita, the concern is because he's actually ruining and spoiling the truma, here as well, harim afsida, and therefore, don't use it. That's l'chatchila. V'im not al ksheira, but the evidence works. And the question is why? So this relates back to our discussion that we had regarding the definition of lachem. We had machlokes, and we said that according to all shittas, it needs to be edible to you. It has to have eter achil to be considered lachem. According to Rabbi Asi, you need din mamon as well. So how is it that maser sheni b'Yerushalayim is kosher? Explains the Gemara. Well, it depends on the two approaches. L'man da Omar b'nei she'ein b'heter achila. According to the Shita, which said that the concern only applies when you can't eat it. So in order for it to be considered lachem, it has to be edible to you. It has to be mutar b'achila. Tibirako. So our Mishnah follows all Shitas. Which Shitas? We had a machlokes between Rabbi Meir, who held that maser sheni in Yerushalayim is considered heavenly funds, mamon gavoya. It's not considered your possession. You don't have din mamon. Whereas the Chachamim maintain, it's called yours. Either way, says the Gemara, you're okay. If the only requirement is heter achila, even according to Rav Meir, it's kosher for sukkah's use because you can eat it. Hashem gave you permission to eat your maser sheni Yerushalayim. You have access to it. And therefore, it's lachem. L'man da'amar al v'she'ein bo din mamon. Now, according to the other shita, which was Rabbi Asi, that the concern by Arla was because you don't have ownership. You don't have din mamon. Achila wasn't enough. You need to actually own it. So why is maser sheni Yerushalayim kosher? It can't work according to Rav Meir. It's not your mamon. You can eat it, but it's not your money. Apparently, hamani rabbanani. It must be shitas rabbanon. The maser sheni Yerushalayim is mamon hedyut. It's your personal belonging. And therefore, it's considered lachem. Let's go over to Rashi, parallel to El Gemara. L'manda Amar says Rashi ba'Orla, the one who explained by Orla, the concern was if she ain't b'heter achila. Avali hava b'heter achila, but if it was edible to you, hava meskash, it would have been fine. V'afilu less b'din mamon, even though you don't own it. Ha yesh boi nami heter achila. Maser sheni Yerushalayim is edible, and it's fine. U'mas nisin etani kasher, tefei akoyli. The mission which says kasher is following all shittas. V'afilu Rav Meir. The Amar Maser Sheni Mamon Gavayahu, Mitukma, it works even according to him. The Baha din Mamon Labina, we don't need ownership. The Kivan da Achila, Lachem Karinale. Since it's edible to him, it's considered Lachem. Uman da Amar Ba'arlo Vishayimba din Mamon, according to Rabbi Asi, that din Mamon is required. Di Nami have a Het Bachilo, have a Pasala, Mishum the less a Mamon, Lashar Nois. And even if you can eat it, but if it's not really yours, you can't use it for other purposes. It's lacking in lachem. Kigoy maser sheni b'Yerushalayim the Rameir. For instance, maser sheni b'Yerushalayim according to Rameir, you can eat it, but you can't use it for other purposes. It's not your money. Apparently, masnisin rabbanon hi. The mission which allows maser sheni in Yerushalayim is the rabbanon. The amri maser sheni mamon hedutu. It's your personal possession. V'loy Rameir, but it can't be Rameir. The ilu Rameir apostle, because it's not your money. Continues the Gemara. Also chazazes, if the esrog develops some sort of skin condition, some sort of blistering. If the chazazos covers most of the esrig, it's pasul. It's lacking in hadar. Amar of Chizda, Dover said the following halacha. Rabbeinu HaGadol Amri was said by Rabbeinu HaGadol, Rav, HaMakam Yiyah BeEzra, Hashem should always give him Siyata Deshmai. What did he say? Lo Yishanu El B'Makam Echad. When we speak about the Chazazis covering most of the Esrig being problematic, that's only if it's concentrated in one location. Aval B'Shnayim Shleishim Makam is Kasha, but if it's dispersed throughout the Esrig in two and three places, it's fine. It's not so noticeable. It's not so visible. It's not lacking hotter. If anything, the other way around. If it's all over the place, it's like a spotted esrig. It's worse off than just in one location. Of course, it's puzzle. How can you say that? Ella Itmar. Rather says the Gemara, if we learned this halacha, it was the following way. Asef Itmar was in reference to the second part of the Mishnah. First mission says, if the chazazos covers most of the esrig, it's possible. But if it's al mi'utai kasher, if it only covers a minor portion of the esrig, then it's kasher. On this we have the halacha of Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Chisda. Dover zeh, the following thing was said by Rabbeinu HaGadol. Rabbeinu HaGadol Amri. V'amakim yeh be'esrei, which is, Lo'ishanu. When is a mi'ut, chazazos, not a concern? Elav makim echad. If it's in one location, it's not so noticeable. But if it's all over the esrig, have they come a number of apostle? So he agrees to Rava's argument, of course. If it's dispersed throughout the esrig, if it's in shnayim or shleishim makomis, it's even worse. It's like a spotted leopard. Of course it's possible. Amar Rava, I have one more thing to add. One more exception. If it's up on top, on the nose, as she says, where the esrig begins to slant to sort of turn into a point. That's called the chaytim. That's the most noticeable portion of the esrig. Over there, umo machmer. Even if it's just a drop of chazazos there, it's so noticeable. It detracts from the beauty of the esrig and its pasul. Nitlo pitmasi, if the pitim was taken away, it's pasul. What is the pitim? Tana Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. Nitlo buchnasi. So buchnas is the pestle which is used to crush in the mortar. So the pitim here is the portion protruding out of the top of the esrig, the spire, out of the top of the esrig, so it looks like a pestle because it's straight and then it rounds up on top. That's removed. The esrig is pasul. So you had a different gersa. You had a braisa instead of pitmasa, buchnasa. Mishnah speaks about niklaf, a esrig which was peeled. Amar Rava, hay esrega, da aglet, an esrig which was peeled. And now it appears brownish, reddish, kiahina, like a date sumka, reddish date. That's what happens when you peel fruit. It gets brownish and reddish. Kshera. The esrog is kosher. How can you say that? Va'anantanan niklaf pasal. Mishnah says it's pasal. Like kasher, the answer is, depends how much. Habikula. Rava was speaking about a fully peeled esrog. That is kosher. Because it's all uniform. It's one color throughout. Habimiktsasa. The Mishnah was where it was partially peeled. Rashi on top says, "Bekula is kosher, miktsasa is pasul, the menumeru." Now it's spotted, and it looks worse than if you would have really peeled the entire esrog. Tosfos has a different gersa. He says, a different pshat. He says, "Miktsasa is actually kosher, kula is worse off, and it's pasul." Okay, let's summarize the entire Mishnah. So we had a guzzle, which was possible because it's not yours. You have nothing from it. No heter achila, no din mamon. Yavish is possible because it's not hadar. Asher in adachas is possible because it has no shear. It's latest for destruction. Oh, what about erla? The psul is because it has no heter achila, which is a precondition according to all shittas. And it has another chisaron as well because there's no din mamon. It's asur ba'ana, which adds to the lack of lechem. Truma tmei is pasul because it has no heter achila, and that's a requirement according to all shittas. What about truma tahir lechatchila not? Because either he's being machshered, enabling it for tuma by getting it wet with a lulav, or because he's being mafsid the fruit. And the Gemara tells us if he actually left the peel out, wasn't part of the truma, there's no concern of hefsid. But the evidence is kosher because it's truly lechem. It's edible to him, at least to his grandson. And the din mamon condition applies here as well. Regarding demai, according to Beis Hillel, it's kasher. We say, since it's roi for an ani, and he himself can become an ani if he chooses to, then that's called something which is roi lachilatim. Masa sheni b'yushalayim, chatchila noga, because he's enabling it for tumah, or because he's mafsid it. So it's the same like the truma Torah, but the evidence kasher, either because all we need is heter achila, which this case has, according to Rav Asi, that din mamon is required as well. Apparently, this mishnah is following the shitas rabbanon, that is considered his personal funds, and therefore is considered lachem. Chazazas on most of the esrog is possible. Of course, when we speak about chazazas, it's an internal condition, it's a skin condition. The poskim speak out that if the esrog was pricked by a thorn, so it's this external interference and formed a scab as a result, that's not called chazazas. Chazazas means some sort of bubbles and blisters, some sort of irregularity within the skin itself. So it's over, if it's over most of the esrog, it's possible, it's lacking in hatter. But if it's on the miut, it's kosher, provided it's in one place. But if it's dispersed throughout the esrig, it's lacking in hadar. And you have to be careful as well that it shouldn't be found on the choytim, on the top of the esrig, which detracts from its hadar. Little pitmase, which is the buchnase, the pestle on top of the esrig, makes it possible. Regarding niklaf, conclusion was, if it's fully peeled, so even though it reddened or browned, that's okay because it's all uniform, one color. Miktsase, in which case you have many colors throughout this esrig, it's possible, it's called menumer. You have a spotted esrig, which is lacking in hadar. Okay, so what did we learn today? We began by exploring the pasuk pre-eitz hadar. What exactly is that? The more concludes that it's an esrig. We have four pshatim, either because pre-eitz hadar indicates that it has to be a fruit coming from a tree whose eitz and peri have the same taste. Either hadar is to be spelled like hadir, a pen, an animal pen, which has many sizes and varieties. The esrog tree has last year's fruit and this year's fruit, large and small. Another pshat was pre-eitz hadar, which is dar b'ilani mishana l'shana. The esrog strays on the tree from one year to the next. The final pshat was lashon yevani. Hadar is darshan like idur, meaning an abundance of water. And Yevani, either is Mayim, the esrog tree needs to be watered. Gadol kol Mayim, and that's unique to the esrog tree over other fruit trees. We know that the arba minim have to be lochem, lokachtem lochem. What does lochem mean? It certainly means heter achil. That's the main function of food, of fruit, to be eaten. So it has to be edible to you. Does it have to be yours as far as possession, as far as financial ownership? Machlekes. According to one sheet, no. According to Rav Asi, yes. Now, according to Rav Asi, there are three applications to this requirement. So if you have, let's say, Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, which is Roi L'Achila, but you don't have monetary ownership, according to Rav Meir, who holds that it's Mamon Gevoya, that's going to affect the Chiyuv Chala, your pot. You can't use it for matzah. You can't use it for an esrog. By challah, because it needs to be Arisei Seichem, it has to be yours. By matzah, we learn through Gzeres Shava from challah, on my esrog, because of lachem. And the Gemara concluded with all the details mentioned in the Mishnah and explained the reason for each one. Kotev tu v'natzlachara.